Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action.
How are you feeling?
Good, how is your cycle?
We're in Gerardsbergen, the spiritual home of the TCR. Almost 280 riders have descended on this small Belgian town, travelling from around the world to gather on the start line of another great adventure.
So my name is Stefan de Sterk. I'm volunteering here at the starting grid in Gerardsbergen. This is now my fifth transcontinental, the fifth time I've been helping starting here in Gerardsbergen. Well, I got involved meeting Mike Hall, the founder of Transcontinental, during the second Transcontinental, when the Muur of Gerardsbergen was one of the checkpoints, the first checkpoint racing from London to Istanbul, and the Muur was the first checkpoint, and there I met Mike, and from there on I started helping.
Hi.
This is me, I think.
Great. Super.
Well, today the riders are coming in to the last check of their pre-registration. First of all, they get their trackers, important. They get their cap and they get their brevet card. And in the end, they get a briefing and they're off at 10 o'clock tonight. Okay, on how to use the tracker.
Arriving at the youth centre that's home to the race registration is like stepping into a parallel universe. Hundreds of bikes are propped up against every available wall, and the air is thick with excitement and trepidation.
So I'm Richard Gate, and I'm cap 251A.
And I'm Sam Gate, cap 251B.
We've had a very chilled morning, no problems. I'm 55 years old, and I've brought along my secret weapon, which is my son, Sam, who is...
I'm 25 years old. I'm quicker up the hills, but slower everywhere else, so we'll see how it goes. We did the Transamerica in Spain last August, which we were quite successful in. It was a drastically reduced field, but we finished that in as first pair. But that's the only race we've done together. It started as a bit of a bike dream of probably yours, just to have an adventure.
Yeah, I guess I had a secret wish that Sam would want to do it. And we went on a tour of Italy and Slovenia, and it was during then that was kind of the unspoken question. But after that, then Sam decided he wanted to have a go. Yeah, it's a very different feel for me than the first time. The first time I was so anxious before, and it wasn't until I got here and finished registration and literally lined up at 10 o'clock at night that I actually felt at peace, that I'd done all the prep that I could possibly do. But it was still a, can I do this or not? This year it's more of a, apart from the injury, it's not can we do it, but how long will it take us? I think we are a pretty good match as a pair of girls.
And what about?
We think the same. We have the same attitude,
mindset.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest difference is in our food preferences, I think.
Hi, my name is Megan Hakkinen. I'm really happy to get to be here this year. I was staying in Switzerland visiting friends, so I rode up to Brussels and spent a few days relaxing and then rode over this morning.
Nice. And have you had a chance to have a wee look around the town yet?
No, I'm going to noodle around a little bit before or after the rider's briefing. But nice. It looks cool. It's so bikey. I think the parkours and the mountain passes, I think they'll be the challenging bits, but I think we're being sent there for a reason, and it's going to be epic and memorable. That's what I'm telling myself. and that feeling of going through country after country is really exciting, and it's something we don't get in North America because it's such a huge continent, right? So I'm excited just to kind of blast through different countries and get a little taste of everything. But I think being in the mountains is what really excites me.
With the exception of TCR number 2 and number 7, Gerardsbergen has featured in every instalment of the race. The town has a proud cycling pedigree. Its cobbled climb, known as the Muur, or The Wall, has featured regularly in the Tour of Flanders, and it was the first climb on the 2019 Tour de France.
We know a lot of cycle races here in Gerardsberg, famous ones and so on, but people were not aware what long-distance cycling was. And now, for the fifth time, there will be an audience of interested people and also just tourist people coming to look at those 250 boys and girls leaving the town. So, yeah, attitude has changed from wondering what's going on to, oh, that's big, I want to see it. And now being here tonight, I've got some messages from people who come from Brussels or further on to watch tonight.
My name's Doug Migden. I'm from Seattle, USA. I'm an emergency physician by profession. And this is the sixth TCR for me. I started off in 2015. Was pretty clueless about what I was doing. I finished five, but to be honest, I'm not so sure that I know so much. Still make a lot of mistakes, still have uncertainties. We'll see how it goes. I'm 65 this time, so, you know, not a spring chicken. So what makes me do this six times? It has bits and pieces of so much, and the Odyssey component is just huge. You feel like you're part wild animal, part primitive man, part Marco Polo, and part wannabe bike racer. And that's a pretty cool combination.
So you just passed the bike check?
Yes, just passed the bike check. I can sort of relax a little bit now. That's like, you know, one final thing off your mind. So I'm Rob Webb, cap number 196. Can't wait to get started. I'm from London. Been planning this for 4 years. Obviously been cancelled twice. Just can't wait to get on the start line and like get going. I plan to ride for 24 hours, right? And then like try and find somewhere to stay around 10 o'clock-ish tomorrow. And also just to try not to worry too much about what other people are doing. They're all going to be riding to their own plan. Like, don't sort of, you know, get sucked up with it. I understand from a few like veterans that like the start can be a bit like aggressive, you know, everyone, like all the excitement's released and everyone goes off full gas sort of thing. Like, and I'm going to try not to get sucked into that.
Myself and race reporter Ross Brannigan caught up with Ulrich Barthelmos and Christoph Strasser, two of the pre-race favourites.
I mean, I will try to really use the first night when I'm still in good shape and everything to make good kilometers, so starting not too fast but not too slow, something in the middle, and then let's see how it's going. Oh, it's nice. I was yesterday directly when I arrived. I climbed up the Mur to the small chapel, and it's really nice up there, climbing like on the cobbles, and then this famous image appears in front of you, and you can stand up there and have a look above the landscape. It's amazing to be here. It's pretty nice country. I mean, I saw a lot of images, and if you go up there and you have imagining that it will be fully crowded with people and torches, it's really looking forward to this moment. I guess it will be a very special one.
I feel very excited and very good, but not so nervous anymore, because nervosity was like very high 3 weeks ago when everything was in the planning and preparation, and I was not sure if everything is getting on time in the right place, but now I'm quite relaxed.
Yeah, were there any last minute like panics?
Yeah, yesterday evening I wanted to buy some food, but the shop closed 10 minutes earlier. So I only had spaghetti without anything on it. That was my last minute panic, but everything else is quite perfect.
How's the past few weeks of training been for you?
Really good. But you know, I'm training for many years and really big mileage, so training is like routine for me. But yeah, there was no problem. I could do my training like I wanted to, 100% on my training plan. So I hope to get my performance peak in the next few days.
Nice one. And you've gone for a dynamo.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the kind of thinking around that?
I didn't have any experience about electricity on the bike, and I read a lot of blogs and listened to many podcasts, and yeah, there is the choice between USB power banks and then dynamo, and I thought just that dynamo is maybe more safe. You cannot lose it, you cannot like throw it into the water or let it fall to the ground. And I hope it keeps on working, and you also, I think, maybe save some weight, because the external acu packs and batteries are quite heavy, and you need the extra charger to charge the external battery, and the dynamo is just a dynamo with nothing else. So, yeah, I had good experience in the train.
Yeah, and being at the start here, does it feel like you're at something brand new?
Yes, it does. Everything is really new and exciting for me. Even if I did so many long-distance races in the supported area, everything is quite new and I'm really feeling like a rookie. My plan in the beginning of the race is not to push too hard, because I think for me it is very special. I'm used to push to my absolute limit from the other race experiences. Sleep very little or sleep as little as possible. And in this race, I have to slow down myself a little bit more, because I need to survive for 10 days. So I will take it a bit slower. Try to get a good sleep in the second night. Of course, the first night will be without sleep, because we start at 10 in the evening. So I will not get off the bike after 1 hour and go to sleep. For sure not. But the second night will be a bit longer sleep, and then I try to save my energy, my carbohydrate storage in my body. Because if you just, for example, if you go with 200 watts and you go with 250 watts, with 250 watts, you need the double amount of carbohydrates. So this is not very economical. It will be a big surprise to see the landscapes I've never seen before. I've just been for training a few days in Romania and it was really beautiful. And yeah, there are so many places I've never seen, like Bosnia, Serbia, and all that stuff. So that will be great.
Staging an event on this scale requires a huge team of volunteers who work behind the scenes at all the control points to make the race happen.
Anyway, I'm Richard. And
I'm Gareth Taylor.
Richard Lansdowne. I'm Cardiff.
He's from Brighton.
Yeah, what an introduction.
And what are you doing?
We are bike mechanics, volunteer bike mechanics, checking the bikes at the start.
What we love doing anyway.
Yes.
That's what we're born to do.
Checking out and geeking out on all the cool bikes. Not failed a single bike so far.
I am really well looked after. Surprised how consistently solid all the builds have been.
Yeah.
How, I was expecting to find some sketchy stuff, some loose bearings, some split tyres. My own bike is sketchier than anything I've looked at today.
It's been really relaxed, actually.
And I've just seen a set of wheels I've never seen before, with some sort of weird Kevlar weave in the rim.
A really fat Kevlar weave in them.
Yeah, so he says you can break your carbon rim and then still ride your bike and it's not going to fall to bits. So it seems like a good choice for a TCR.
Hello, I'm Ingrid, and I'm actually a volunteer here, and I'm from Heeresbergen. I'm local. So today I'm helping out to organize the start, and my role at the moment is helping in the bike checking on especially security. So the helmets, the lights, the reflecting, the masks, so make sure that everyone goes safe on the road. And then the bike gets checked technically as well, so that there are no cracks, that everything is functioning well, so we are sure that the riders can leave safe from here. Last time it started here, I was not a volunteer, but I was in the city and I talked to all the riders, and it brings a very nice international atmosphere to the city. And it's a city that loves cycling, so the racing, it's something very special the people do. It's the ultra aspect. It's you have to be very strong-minded to participate in this. And it's a very nice atmosphere here. It's quite informal.
So I'm Martha. I'm here offering massage, pre-event massage with Commute. So it helps with getting the riders, firstly to relax them a little bit. So if they're feeling stressed or anxious, it's a nice little time out that they can just, relax the day before they get going. But also just to get their blood flowing into their legs, their bodies, just if they have any questions about anything going on, aches or pains or anything that they feel, I can ask me about that. Just really something that they can just enjoy today and get them ready to ride.
I'm Chris Wright. I rode the 2019 TCR, and this year I'm volunteering at the start line and doing rider registration as they come in. So a really important part of my identity is that I'm autistic. I found 2019 really hard on my head, and I said I would never do that again, and I will never do that again. But I really liked the community. I really liked, connected with some of the riders, with Anna, with a few other people that were involved, and I wanted to be involved in that community. I think it's much more accepting of diversity. As an autistic person, I feel I'm not understood, but I think because everyone here is pretty much a statistical outlier, and as maybe a personality, can be a bit of a statistical outlier at points, then I fit in. I feel welcome, and it's nice. It's a nice place. So yeah.
Looking around the hall as the race briefing begins will give you a good sense of the demographic of the ultra-distance cycling scene. Accessibility and diversity are core values of the Transcontinental Race, and the organisers are constantly trying to identify and remove the barriers to entry.
In order to run the kind of bike race that we want to run, to find the fastest human across Europe on a bike, we really need to be having equal numbers of women, men, and also, of course, non-binary people as well. So, it's really important to us that we, first of all, understand what those barriers are, and then understand what we can do to try and break some of them down, or work with people to try and break some of them down.
Hi, I'm Hetty. I'm one half of Turning the Cogs, which is an independent research project aiming to look at diversity within cycling events. Essentially, we want to welcome more cyclists to the start line of events. More and more people are on their bikes. However, when we're looking at the diversity within the start line of events, we felt that this is still lagging behind. And we were really keen to find out maybe why that is. We wanted to speak to as many cyclists as possible and find out maybe some of the even if they're experiencing any barriers to get to the start line, and if they'd like to take part in events, and then if they are, maybe what they think would help them. I think on a personal level, I just feel like cycling and riding my bike and taking part in events has really given me a huge amount, both within my personal life, I guess also professionally. It just affects every aspect. These events have an impact on the way you live and the way you think about yourself. And for those that have access and privilege, it's maybe quite straightforward for us to consider doing something like an event. But that's not the case for everyone. It sounds cheesy, but I want everyone who would like to be able to do something like this to be able to.
For me, accessibility is a big part of the Transcontinental. So you need to throw that net out wide, and you need to be able to, anyone who wants to come and compete, be able to compete, because they might be the challengers.
We started the Mike Hall Bursary in 2019, and the bursary was designed to kind of further one of Mike's ambitions, which was to help the race be accessible to people who don't have a lot of disposable income. The ticket price of the race has necessarily gone up over the years. It has to cover all of the work that Lost.do to make sure the race goes really well. And we're always trying to innovate and, you know, make it a really exciting experience to race and to watch. So that obviously requires investment. As the price of the ticket has had to go up, it's been important to us that we were able to put something together to enable this aspect of what Mike really cared about for the race. It also is a way to kind of keep Mike's character and passions and beliefs kind of really wedded to the race. He's obviously not here. He can't tell us what he thinks of the race now. And I certainly hope that he would be honoured to have the bursary in his name, you know, to allow his kind of hopes and dreams for the race to live on.
One of this year's bursary riders is Amrei Kuhne from Germany. We caught up with her at registration to find out how the bursary has helped her.
Well, I'm very honoured, of course, and it's great because I feel if the bursary didn't happen, I wouldn't have ridden the race.
Yeah.
I just hope to be able to finish as a woman, as a female rider. Every sport is kind of marginalizing people from whatever, like, either it's material or it's access to a certain group or to a certain material or to equipment, whatever. Mm. Also, people who have low income often have to work a lot more, so they won't have so much time for training. So if you get the bursary, you have the opportunity to work less, for example, or maybe take some time off and just train. Also, I hope it's just empowering people, like people who would not dare to do it otherwise. So I would get a whole lot of equipment. So I got all the Apidura bags, so I'm very happy for those. I got the helmet from LEM. I got Hutchinson tires. I got this pedalette kit that I just started wearing this week. I hope it will fit. You never know. I got stuff like handlebar tape from Kinesis, a whole list of things. Also something that makes a bursary possible, like it's just, I'm a student, so I have a lot of time, and with the bursary I can just decide to take a lot of time off and cycle partially and take the train home. So I don't want to fly because of environmental reasons. So I'm very happy for everything. It's working out quite fine. I have time afterwards to just take the train and some buses, and I will also ride a bit back home. Mm. Yes, I care a lot.
Good on you.
Like mentally. And I hope other riders do too. I really like the last update, last.send. Like, please be aware of environmental issues and considering your journey to the race and from the race. So that's what I find really supportive. Mm. So for the length of the race, I did some longer training rides. So I would go to the bursary bike fitting in London. That was cool, by bike. And I also went to visit some friends and family in Hamburg. And I also went to like other bike packing tours to France and Italy. Yeah, that's about it. And then, of course, I live near the Black Forest. I just go on training rides every other day. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the challenges that are going to pop up for you?
I'm very scared of dogs.
Okay.
So, first thing, I want to stay hydrated. Second thing, I want to eat enough. Third thing was to put sunscreen on. Very important, just to stay good, like the whole body, so I can stay confident riding. And then the next thing, get rid of the fear of dogs.
Hello, Tom here. Just to say, if you're enjoying this, you might want to check out our daily podcast where TCR veterans Karen Tosti, Becky Waters and Rob Quirk react to the latest race action and share some of their ultra cycling stories. It's worth subscribing to so you get the most up-to-date race action as it comes out, and feel free to rate the pod and leave a review while you're there.
So is this like an interview situation now?
Yes.
Just so I know what's happening.
We caught up with cap number one, Fiona Kolbinger.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I've been in Herzbergen before, but I haven't started the TCR and I haven't had this experience of riding up the moor and people with torches lighting the way up there. And actually yesterday I realized that it won't be completely dark during the start, but it will still be a bit of light. And I think that's quite nice because then you can see the cobbles, it's a bit safer. But I still expect that it's going to be a crazy fast start with a lot of hormones involved, I would say. Adrenaline is gonna take over. It feels good to be back. It's a bit of the unknown, really, because I don't know where I stand physically, to be honest. But I know that I'm keen for the adventure, and I'm really looking forward to see all the places, and that's going to be a lot of fun. People have been talking about a 4,000 kilometer race, but this year my route is significantly longer than 4,000 kilometers. I don't know if just nobody's talking about it, but so I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there, that my route is not 4,000 kilometers, and it's not 4,100, and it's not 4,200. So it's significantly longer than last time, and it's also quite hilly. So my route is also quite some thousand meters hillier than my last route was. So this kind of, I'm quite kind of excited to see if anybody could cut off 400 kilometers or so off my route. So yeah.
My name is Ben Davis, I'm cut number two.
Yeah, it's so good to see it back on the calendar. It's sort of, I think everyone's missed it, so it's just nice to be back on the road with TCR, so it's all good.
Yeah, and you're hot off the back of like a second place at Trans Am, everyone's been congratulating you on. Yeah, how was that?
Oh, Trans Am was awesome, yeah. So finished that 4 weeks ago. So coming into TCR is a bit of an experiment, really, because it's very close proximity. So it's just been trying to recover from it. But Trans Am was awesome. Like, it was such a good race. Pretty chuffed with, like, High Road and that. And just the people over there, the scenery and stuff is just so cool.
Yeah.
TCR, I'm just really interested to see how it goes. Like, I'm either going to be going really good, I will have recovered, or I won't, so it'll be really interesting. It's not a huge amount of research into like recovery from these ultra events, and mainly the levels of fatigue from sleep deprivation and stuff. So coming off that 4 weeks ago, it's right on the cusp of you can potentially be performing really good, potentially not be, but like you say, maybe you can ride into it. I'm not sure, we'll see. I've been doing my daily commute to work and stuff just to keep on the bike. That's pretty short. Last Friday I did a sort of a 5.5 hour, and I was not going great, so but I mean, that was a week ago, so everything changes. I've got sort of, if I'm honest, zero expectations. I'm gonna go as hard as I can and see what I can do. And I respect the race. I want to do a good job for myself and see what I can do.
Yeah. What keeps bringing you back to it?
Oh, man, I love the race. It's like a really nice, I mean, it's a beautiful route. Like, the whole community across the continent is really cool. So there's so many different aspects of it. It's interesting and keeps me going.
Do a last minute briefing where we talk through the rules, we talk through the spirit. You know, it's an opportunity for everybody to be in the same room together and really feel like we're doing this together, and hopefully feel some of the responsibility that I feel we all share to do this race properly.
So, welcome to TCR number 8. So, I'm David.
This year will be Anna Haslott's final transcontinental as a race director as she steps back from the role she's carried out for the past 5 years.
Well, and finally from me, as this is my last race as race director, I wanted to thank you. I'm definitely going to cry, just to let you know. I wanted to thank you all, riders, volunteers, sponsors, staff and friends. You've been the most amazing community of open-hearted people I've ever had the pleasure to meet, and I've enjoyed almost every minute. It's been my pleasure to secure Mike's legacy so that future generations of adventure cyclists can enjoy what he created. A lot of love, sweat and tears have gone into Lost Dot and our events over the years. My drive has been to ensure Mike's race remained the principled and values-led event that he created. I feel extremely confident in the skills and ability of David and Andrew as they take over the day-to-day management of Lost Dot's races, and although I'm very sad that this is the end of an era, I do hope very much to be able to come and help out as a volunteer myself in the summer and to come and meet you all at a CP again in the future.
It's 9:45 p.m, 15 minutes before the race starts, and the main square in Gerardsbergen is packed with riders as the light fades. It's a sea of high-vis and red tail lights. Some have a steely determination in their eyes, others look scared at the enormity of what they're about to do.
We wish you all the best of luck, a safe ride, a fair competition, and a healthy arrival in Burgas, Bulgaria. Good luck to you all.
The clock strikes 10 and the riders surge across the start line and onto the cobbles. While they conduct a neutralised lap of the town, a crowd of supporters in the square set their torches aflame and begin a 7-minute pilgrimage up the hill to line the town's famous cobbled climb. The first rider emerges from the torchlit depths of the climb, crest the summit to a cacophony of cowbells. A stream of riders follow, flames licking at their backs, propelling them past the chapel and into the night. The transcontinental race is underway.
I saw Mike passing by. I had a beer with him over there, several beers. I saw him passing by. He was a special man. He caught the spirit of cycling. Do it on your own. It will hurt you, but do it on your own. Don't get help from anybody. Do it on your own. So this is it.
Don't forget to send in your questions for the TCR Daily podcast by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Control Point 1. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.